We all face some silent struggle, but trust me, you are not alone. I'm your host, MJ, and every week we break down a challenge, success, or struggle with someone who's also been through it. We learn from lived experience and love to share tools, resources, and concepts that might help you get off the struggle bus. Interested? Subscribe for more. Let's get into it. We're back. Season two. I'm excited. We have a super special guest here with us today. We have Justin Peters from The Struggle is Real. Justin, how are you this morning?
I'm doing great. I feel like if anybody knows something about struggling, it's you. I feel like we borrowed each other's names in this podcast, which is so great. I'm like, we have to collaborate at some point in time, and I'm glad we're making that happen today.
The struggle is real, and coming from the public sector, the struggle bus is so very real. That's why recovering political over here, trying to make it through. I want to point folks to your latest episode. We're in early February, but I think it was like episode 87, or is it like the first episode of this year?
Episode 82. Are we talking Quitter's Day?
Yes, we are talking Quitter's Day. And I was listening to that and I was like, oh my gosh, this is hitting home so hard, because I am not really of the mind of making a New Year's resolution in January. My birthday is December 31st, so that's my general check-in. Just happens to be near January 1st. Listening to episode 82 of The Struggle is Real really spoke to me, because I'm like, there is a Quitter's Day. I didn't realize there was an actual marker. Can you talk more about that?
Yeah, so lots of people make New Year's resolutions, of course, and for good intentions. But they have found through multiple studies that the majority of Americans will quit their New Year's resolutions, will abandon their New Year's resolutions by January 19th. So January 19th has now been deemed Quitter's Day for that reason. And I went on a rant on a podcast episode because I am very enthusiastic about helping people make sure they overcome Quitter's Day and they get further away from Quitter's Day, because I know the power of actually seeing through the goals that you set for yourself. So yes, I was very excited about it. I stumbled across that article and I was like, wow, this just is so timely. And I had to talk about it.
I had actually finished and stopped season one of Off the Struggle Bus right after Thanksgiving, because I felt like I was almost forcing content. The guests that were on in season one were so helpful, so informative. Because I had started it off right after FinCon, there was this very present personal finance angle. But I was like, okay, this is a beta test. Let me see how far I can go from September to December. And by November, I was like, okay, I think we've gotten some good data. I'm not exactly quitting. I'm taking a break and resetting and reformatting. So when I heard the Quitter's Day podcast from you, I was like, yes, it is not that I have quit. It is that I have reset and we are restarting. So How special is it that, like, you are our first guest of season two and The Struggle is Real? And as a podcaster, right, I know you know The Struggle is Real, and we are always reinventing and always thinking about how to do it better. To that end, I'm just curious, do you have a current struggle that you want to share with the audience?
Yeah, definitely. I have many and many of struggles, which is why the show is called The Struggle is Real. Half of the show is just a cathartic opportunity for me to really approach some of the things that I'm struggling with in my own life and deep dive into them and find an expert that might be able to help me along that journey. But before I jump into that, a couple of things to touch on here. I love, of course, personal finance is near and dear to my heart, but I love the thought of you potentially expanding into other avenues. I thought your resume and resource episode was really solid. Of course, there's conversation there about money and increasing your salary, but you were also giving career advice and career actionable tips. So I love it. That is the way I'm with my show as well. I love personal finance, but I jump all the way around. Like, we had this goal setting one, and we're going to have a sex episode coming out, and we talk about healthy living, and I'll have a poker player on. So I just bounce around because that is life. You're always balancing so many different aspects of life. And that is what I'm currently struggling with, honestly. I started a business with my brother last year, and it has been so fun and exciting, but it has consumed so much of my time that I feel like I have lost some insight into some of the other areas of my life, like friends in particular. Like, that is one that I'm always beating myself up over. Like, I get to a Friday night and a friend hits me up and I'm like, man, I need to go to bed early tonight. Like, I want to have a good start to my Saturday. I want to jump into some work. I'm exhausted. It's been a long week and I feel guilty about it. So I'm currently wrestling with some of the guilt around time spent in the business versus time spent with friends.
Yeah, that's definitely a balancing act too. I'm working with an almost 3-year-old here at home. And so, like, I miss my friends. I miss being out, but I also love hanging out with this three teen. He's almost there. He got a haircut yesterday and he's like a new person. So funny.
Cute. Cute. How is motherhood? Has it been what you expected, harder than expected?
Oh, it has not been normal because he's definitely a pandemic kid. He's a pandemic toddler. I had him literally the week before the world shut down. So very normal pregnancy, not very normal postpartum. It's been a struggle, to say the least. And not having, I don't think I even had an expectation of what motherhood would be like, but I knew it shouldn't be alone. And props to my husband, who, like, oh my gosh, the first 4 months, it was literally just me and him.
Really?
No family, no friends, nothing. And the fact that we all came out of it and we're still here, I'm so thankful. Yeah, so I married him, right?
That's cool, man. I don't know. I'm torn with parenthood. I always, always wanted to be a dad. It was the one thing I have not wavered from. But recently, my longtime girlfriend is pretty hard no on having kids.
Oh.
So it's something I'm wrestling with in my own head. If fatherhood is something that's so important for me that I want to continue to have that conversation with her, or if I would be okay living a life without being a father. I'm guessing it's like picking number one or picking number two. Like, they're both probably really great options. Like, if I get to spend my life with her, then I'm probably going to be happy. And I, like, look around my life right now and it's like amazing.
Yeah.
But I love chatting with new parents because they all have a little bit of sparkle in their eyes about the entire experience and about being a mother or being a father too. So I don't know. That's another struggle I'm still wrestling with in my head.
I will say that my first marriage, I was like hard set. I'm not having a kid. We're not having kids. He was also like, we're not having kids. And so if you talked to me like 10 years ago and said that I would have a kid one day, I would laugh in your face.
Mm.
I also was like, I would only have a kid if I could fully support the kid. Was my thought around it. And with my second husband, when I met him, there was a moment where we were talking and we were still like in the dating, get to know phase. And he was saying something and I zoned out and I was like, out of nowhere in my head, it's like, I could have this guy's kid. I could do this. I think it was also because he had said to me he's wanted a kid since he was 14. And there's a whole backstory about how he lost his older brother and he wanted to revive his name. And that's why my son's name is JJ. Something about having the right person, you both wanting to create a family together. But let's bring in like the personal finance angle of this. Like, it's expensive. Inflation is no joke. Like, you know how much diaper, childcare. Like, I am wrestling my current struggle, $3,000 versus the private daycare he's in right now.
Oh,
right?
Gosh.
Free public $3,000, right? Which would be $0 a month versus my current setup of like $1,800 a month, right? It's like a whole rent payment on top of the rent we're paying. What? So things to consider, right? And I'm zooming out to the whole picture of like, yes, there is a sparkle in my eye. My kid is so fun and so funny, but he's like a Sour Patch Kid. There are also those moments where I'm like, whoa, like, we need a break. Everybody take a breath, you know? And the reality of how difficult childcare is in this country also needs to be like, I am with your partner on that front too. If that's part of her consideration of not having kids, it is hella expensive.
Yep.
Yep. Out here.
All right. MJ, I am no longer sharing this episode with Gabby, but that's okay. I'm hoping she wakes up one day and she's in a mid-drift conversation with me and she's like, I could have this guy's kid. Fingers crossed.
Fingers crossed. So bringing it back to the, what's it called, struggles and how we're getting over them. What was the most helpful piece of advice you've received from someone?
One struggle that I really struggled with 4 or 5 years ago was my career. I was really, really struggling with my career at one point in time. I was mid-20s working for this insurance brokerage for 7+ years and like just didn't like it. Like I just like wasn't waking up excited anymore. Like I can't just like collect a paycheck and like show up to a job just to collect a paycheck. I have to be really excited about the work that I do. Of course, like a paycheck needs to come along with it, but I'm not somebody that could work in a warm body job and sit around for a couple hours, respond to some emails, hop on a meeting and then just call it good. That's just not how I function. And I made a quick decision to change jobs and I moved into even a worse role for me. It was a fast move and I thought it was the right move. It was a lot of ego that I was following in a high salary sales job that I got. And I quickly found out the culture wasn't right. The job fit wasn't right for me. And I was just completely lost, completely lost. But I had no idea what the next step should be. And I also was struggling with this whole societal expectation that you have to be at a job for 1 year. So I was like, all right, I'm going to stick it out for a year. And then I'm going to reset again in another year. And I just went through this like whole thing on LinkedIn where I posted about this new job that I had. So I didn't want to make another quick change. And that's all weird. Like I was really struggling with a whole lot of things. But I had this conversation with a recruiter and he really reframed it for me. And I was talking him through this exact situation and he just stops me like mid-sentence. He's like, Justin, are you really going to waste another 7 months of your life just to stay at a job that you absolutely hate because society says that you have to be at a job for 1 year and you don't want this quote, quote, resume blemish. And like that had me thinking, I was like, ooh, okay. So he gave me that. But on top of that, we essentially got to the end of the conversation. I was like, I don't know what I want. We started talking about finances. He's like, you have plenty of finances. Just take some time off. Like just create some white space for you. So I decided I was going to take a 6-month sabbatical. And then the best piece of advice that he gave me was, Justin, do not spend the first 3 months of your sabbatical thinking about your career. Spend it and invest that time into a project that you've always said you've wanted to do, but you've said you've never had time because of work. Mm. And that was podcasting for me. Like I bought mics 8 months prior to that. They sat and collected dust for a long time on a shelf. And as soon as he said that, I knew starting a podcast was exactly what I wanted to do. And I am so glad that he did that because then I started podcasting. This was January 2020. Pandemic happens. So it turns into a pandemic project. It gives me a sense of purpose and fulfillment in this time where I didn't have a job. I was like living at somebody else's house. Like it was all kind of craziness, but I had podcasting. And I was creating this community. I was finding my voice. I was learning a bunch of new things. I was really excited about life again. And when I started podcasting, I promised myself I would publish an episode every other week for 1 year. And then at the end of the 1 year, I could let this project go and invest my time into something else. And of course, I got to the 1 year mark and I absolutely loved podcasting. So I doubled down on it. And now I consider myself a podcaster first. And then everything else on the career front is really kind of secondary, but it's really helped lift some of the struggles I had with my career because I have another identity outside of that. My career didn't have to be up on this pedestal. And the way that I make money, find friends, learn new things, find purpose and fulfillment, all of those things, it could truly be the avenue where I pay my bills. And then podcasting does so many other great things for me.
That whole description was so powerful and speaks to me because I am also like, I'm giving myself this year, right, an episode a week, guest or not, because I need to tell you, I've like left jobs without jobs for a while, and toxic environments are so hard. There was one time I was working at the mayor's office as the first lady's scheduler, and within 2 weeks realized this is not the right fit. And because of the expectation in politics, like you stay with your elected. I already know this is a very toxic environment. I already know I need an out. And this was 2 weeks into getting the job. And for context, we lost the 2016 election and I joined the mayor's office in New York. So it was almost like I didn't have a choice because we thought we were going to the White House, but then we weren't. And since my background was in New York City politics, I landed that role. But then I realized the environment was toxic. The people were not like supportive. And I needed to find what is that outside thing. Before I joined the campaign in 2016, I actually was part of agencies for 4 years and then another nonprofit for like 3 years. So I had some longevity and I was always searching for that next team that I wanted to be part of for that next, you know, extended period of time. And it actually took me a couple of tries to get there. Like my current role at PublicWise, this is about year three of me being on this team. So I'm like there, I feel like this is my team. We are doing voting rights stuff and we are working, right? It actually took me jumping three jobs in between, three different toxic, you know, local government, public sector jobs. There is this expectation of I have to be at a job for a year or two in order to even have a chance at getting this other job. Let somebody who has left jobs without another job because the environment is so bad say to you, it's actually more beneficial if you're able to take that step away, breathe, and allow yourself to reset and change, because when you're in that better headspace, you're actually in a better place to think about what the next move is, and you're not making the decision in a crisis. You are a whole human being. If you are surrounded by people who are bringing you down, think about it. You are sometimes with your coworkers more than you're with your family, more than you're with your friends. And so choosing the right people to be around really does a lot for your mental health.
There's definitely a balance between not being that person that's always thinking there's something greener on the other side as well, but also recognizing this is not the right fit for you and moving on fast. I talk on this thread pretty frequently, speaking to 20-somethings a whole lot around using your 20s for professional curiosity, not for establishing what you're going to do in your career for the rest of your career path, because I think that's how, or at least we think what we're supposed to be doing as we go to college. We decide on this degree. It's this monumental decision. You're supposed to find the entry-level job that starts that career path that you are going to be on the rest of your life. And we all know it. Once we've been in the workforce for 10 plus years, that there's so much serendipity involved with your career path. Embrace some of the serendipity, but don't be afraid to like, okay, I studied accounting in college and I've done accounting for 2 years now. And I realize I absolutely hate accounting and I want to do something else. Then find a way to try something new, because your life is only so long and you can make money plenty of ways. And no one is going to judge you if you just said, you know what? I tried accounting. I didn't really like it, but I'm trying something new. Like, that is totally okay. It should be encouraged in your 20s that you should be curious, that you should be professionally curious, and that you can try three or four different things, and it is okay. And no one should judge you for that. If they are, then A, they are probably your parent, or B, or B, there's someone that's not really a friend to you. Because honestly, we all struggle with our career ups and downs. So it's okay.
Yeah, it's definitely okay. And sometimes the career kind of finds you. In my undergrad, I was an English minor and a communications major. And really? I thought.
I thought you poli-sci or something.
You are talking to somebody who failed AP history in high school.
Now I know.
My career fool you. I will say, sometimes the career chooses you. Sometimes happens in the vein of what you're already studying and what you're already passionate about. I thought, going to college, I thought I was going to be a morning news reporter. We're recording this in the morning. I am very much a morning person. I was working in the accounting department of a news channel. Realized very quickly, like, these were not my people. And then figured, oh, maybe I could pivot, because I like media, I could pivot to game design, because I liked coding. Because, you know, MySpace was a thing. So I was coding a lot. So I thought, okay, if I'm not going to be a morning news reporter, I'm going to code up games. And so I ended up working for a gaming group, but then I was part of their advertising department. And I was like, I don't feel right. I feel like I'm spamming people with these advertisements. Then found my way to another advertising company where they did affiliate marketing. And I got a chance to do graphics at that point. I was going to school at night, working 9 to 5 during the day, competing internships and, like, you know, 20s. Curious, right? Mm-hmm. About all the things. But in the line of comms and media and getting information out there. And so I figured, oh my gosh, I'm using my comms degree in gaming and keyword marketing, affiliate marketing. There was a point where I was like getting to be a manager in the organization and learned that the majority of the money came from porn ads in Germany.
Oh, yeah. And that was on, like, one of your recent episodes. That was gross.
I was like, this doesn't feel right. And I kind of don't like this. But I learned a lot about semantic advertising in that role. And it just so happened I was graduating and I had emailed my teacher in high school that put me on computer coding and art, right? And I was like, look, Mr. Shama, I'm working full time. I'm going to school at night. I have 2 competing internships. I am burnt out and tired, but I, you know, my parents aren't paying for college. I need to have a job after this. And he's like, I'm so proud of you. You are working too hard. You're too young for this. Email my sister. She's actually looking for somebody to do social media. Have you ever considered that? And I'm like, I can jump to social media. I know graphics. I can code. I can do websites. Turns out she's the newly appointed commissioner of immigrant affairs at the mayor's office. And I'm like, wait a minute. I'm using my communications degree in government. Ever since then, I'm like, this is my last job in government. This is my last job in politics. 15 years later, I'm the chief information officer for a voting rights group, right? And I'm like, oh no, this is communications and speaking and telling stories are just so in my blood. I went to college for it. I thought I was going to be a morning news reporter, but here I am fulfilling, like, the personal side of my, what is that? What am I filling? My cup. Filling my cup. Having a morning conversation on a podcast, and it's not related to my current job. And so when you speak about, you know, what, you're a podcaster first because you've found your people, you've created your community for that. I'm only starting to realize I am not my job. It took me easily 10 years to do that. So great on you to have that early on. It used to be so glamorized, like, oh, I'm so busy. Oh, I'm so tired. At least like when I was working in politics in New York. Mm-hmm. And it's just not, as a mom, I'm tired regardless. And that's not glamour. But it's something about having that venue for yourself and finding your people, which is why I think FinCon spoke to me so much, because I'm like, oh my gosh, this is the first time I'm at a conference and I truly do not like talking to people, but I loved talking to you all.
I like talking to you too.
Actually, let's jump over to FinCon, because we were at that same conference in Orlando, but we actually never met in person there. I think we were in that podcasting session together, but you were at a different table or something.
Yep.
Right. But I am so looking forward to going to New Orleans this year.
Yes. And we definitely got to meet up in person in New Orleans.
Yes, absolutely. We will absolutely do that. As you're thinking about your business and podcasting and all this stuff, we have a good runway until September. What are you accomplishing? What are we celebrating in New Orleans when we get to FinCon?
Yeah. For anyone that doesn't know, FinCon is a personal finance conference. It's essentially a bunch of money nerds that all get together that are creating content around personal finance. And we just get to meet each other, collaborate, connect with other brands that are doing a lot of the similar things, and then learn a bunch of things as well. So yes, we were probably in many of the same sessions, I'm guessing, especially if you were podcasting at that point in time. I think I'd made it to just about every podcasting session I could. But I would say between now in New Orleans, which, what is that, October, September-ish time?
No, actually October, yeah.
I have two big goals, actually. One, I've been wanting to run every single day 2 miles for 1 year straight. So that is coming up here soon, February 1st or February 14th. So that will get done. The other goal that I have, and I'd love to celebrate with you as well, is getting my brother completely self-employed through our business.
Amazing.
So my brother, he followed my footsteps, took a sabbatical as well. He moved down to Austin. We launched a business together and we've been working to have the business sustain both all the business expenses and all of his expenses. And we should be roughly, our first forecast was August 1st for that. Fortunately, we've had a whole lot of success early on this year. So maybe it will come sooner than that as well. Yes, very excited. So yes, hopefully we are celebrating a whole year of running and my brother being 100% fully employed through the business.
Oh yeah, definitely want that for you all, for you both.
Yes. So
that's exciting. Oh my gosh.
What about you? What are you hoping to celebrate?
I'm hoping to celebrate like actually feeling like a podcaster and having a consistent podcast where we have the segments, we have the people, and like actually building the community of Off the Struggle Bus, because it does exist. We're just in like different parts, right? I think going into FinCon, it would be great to celebrate almost the end of season two, because FinCon is going to be that tail end of season two. Since I'm shooting to have an episode a week through the end of the year.
Right? Yeah, and that's a big goal.
Big goal. Big episodes, small episodes, but something. Having that habit for myself, because I just process things in general by speaking out loud. And what better medium than a podcast to process things?
No doubt.
Whether it's personal finance or like pandemic parenting or like politics or whatever. Speaking it out loud for some reason like helps me, you know, visualize it. But then I'm like, oh, I hear it. This is ridiculous. Or, oh, I hear it. Maybe we can go down that route. So that's what I'm hoping to celebrate, like a more solid podcast with proper content. You know, maybe we're sponsored by somebody, right? That's what I'm shooting for.
What do you think might get in the way?
Myself, really. This is why I'm so excited about this coming year, because I finally have a proper tax person who I actually met at FinCon, right? Who can help me at least find my baseline numbers, right? Oh, that's a good question. What could get in my way?
When you say myself, is that a time commitment issue? Is that a motivation issue? Is that imposter syndrome?
Imposter syndrome is always constantly floating everywhere.
Yeah, sure. That's just being a human, I think.
no, but myself as in, sometimes I overthink, which I think just happened why I froze right there. I think figuring out the parts that I can delegate, finding the team of people around me, which, you know, folks have, as I'm speaking it out loud in multiple settings, editors have come into the mix, tax folks have come into the mix, potential guests and co-hosts maybe have come into the mix. I'm hoping in the first half of 2023, I find my people that can help it be more sustainable, because I can't do this by myself. I fully recognize that.
It's very hard.
This is what I want for FinCon. I want us to be able to say cheers and actually, you know, with you all self-sustaining on the Simple Pod front, right? But then I can also be like, we're also celebrating the first couple of months of actually making money for Team Javier.
Yes.
Yes, let's do that. Okay, I will put that out into the ether, manifest that, and we will cheers in New Orleans and make a reel about it.
I love that. Generating money on our own. That is going to be our celebration in New Orleans.
Yes. I'm holding you to it. This is amazing. Okay, I love it. Love that goal. Okay, so let's close out with this. I had a prep question for you of like, have you read anything great lately? And your answer was so good. So please, what have you been reading?
So one book that I read recently that has really put a smile on my face, because I was looking at that question and thinking about reading, and I really lost touch with reading for multiple reasons. I do a lot of podcast prep, and most of that is ear time. I'm listening to a lot of podcasts, or my guests come on the show and I'm listening to other shows that they've been on. So I just no longer made time for reading. And then I realized I didn't want that to slip away. So I picked up a book. I made it about 40 pages in, closed it. It was nonfiction. Picked up another book, made it about the same way in, closed it. Like I had like three or four books. I could see the bookmarks, not even 25% of the way complete. Nothing was inspiring me to read. And that was even pushing back more against me wanting to read on top of everything. So I was like, you know what? Let's pick up a book that I know I'm going to absolutely love. So I went back to childhood. This was probably like middle school. And I picked up a fiction book. I'm hoping so many people know the book, but if you don't, it's called The Giver. Mm-hmm. I have so much nostalgia. I remember reading that in the classroom and absolutely loving the book. And I'm like, I'm going to pick that up and read it again. I knew the general story, but I didn't necessarily remember all the details of it. And I couldn't get enough of it. I think I read that book in like 3 or 4 days. And I'm a fairly slow reader too. So 3 or 4 days is like a fast read for me regardless. I know some of you like Harry Potter fans out there that can like read all of Harry Potter in one day. Just absolutely crazy to me. But yes, I'm looking at you. But yeah, I picked up The Giver and it really ignited me again for the love of reading. It also had some themes and story, like some learning lessons through it too. But reading between the lines and being a guy that 49 out of 50 books I read is probably got to be nonfiction because I'm like getting practical information out of it.
Same.
That left so much impact on me as well.
Like the fact that Jonas, the main character, is assigned the receiver of memory, like reading that as an adult, I'm like, oh my gosh, you are learning history. And the history is making you realize like we cannot all be the same. And I need my own path. And I need to help others off this path. And just to this theme of resetting and restarting. And he like goes all the way. And at the end, he gets to be like, oh, wait, I hear music. Is there a little bit of color? There is something at the end of this, right? The struggle is real. Tying it all back. The struggle is real. But he pushes through and he like takes people with him and challenges the expectations of the society that he's born into. And so that's why when you said that, I'm like, oh my gosh, my three books from high school are The Giver, Catcher in the Rye, and The Bluest Eye.
Die, I haven't read that one.
Toni Morrison, society. But we should have a whole side segment about books we've read that are not like personal finance or like nonfiction.
No doubt.
But those are my three, like that actually had an impact on my high school experience. And that's why I will always hold on to that. And whenever somebody mentions it, like I know people are like jaded. I'm like, oh, well, whatever, The Giver, that's a classic. But no, like it's actually a commentary on society that if you read it as an adult, you're like, whoa, like this is so revolutionary.
Like I said, I just picked it up as a fun read. I knew the story was really good and I was like excited to do that again. And then it like left me with all the things that you're saying too, like questioning so much that's happening and seeing myself in Jonas's shoes and oh my gosh. So yes, I've gotten the book question like a couple of times on podcast interviews recently and I'm like, The Giver. Sure, there's I Will Teach You to Be Rich or Rich Dad, Poor Dad and all of the other fan favorites out there. But like The Giver was the one in 2022 that has left the most impact on me.
Yeah, it is a year of challenge, for me at least, challenging what people actually think they know about me. because not a lot of people know I have this podcast. They know me as my political girl self. But to be able to find my people, you're included in that. And I'm so thankful that we've crossed paths and are doing this podcast thing. And thank you so much for being part of season two. And I'm looking forward to seeing you in NOLA and celebrating.
Kyle will be there as well. Yes.
So that's going to be great. I think my headspace is always like, how far can we go? Instead of, yes, I can absolutely get in my own way. My hope for myself is I find my people, figure out how far we can go, and be consistent in creating this content and actually being helpful to the community that I'm trying to serve.
So, no doubt.
Any last thoughts?
That's it, MJ. It's been such a pleasure being on your podcast and building our relationship. Looking forward to actually connecting at some point in time this year. NOLA for sure, but maybe Serendipity will bring us somewhere as well. If you're ever in the Austin area, let me know. I'm glad that we're both approaching and tackling some very similar issues. So right back at you if you ever need support or anything. I am here.
Same. Thank you so much, Justin.
Thank you.